Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcasting platforms. This week, Pastor Russ brings us a sermon titled, Answering the Call, from Isaiah 6, 1 through 8.
So there are these moments in your life and in my life. They are the big moments, and sometimes they are moments that scare us, and then sometimes they comfort us. Sometimes they are the ones that decimate us, just destroy us. And then there's the same, there are moments that heal us. And amazingly, once in a while, they're the same moment. There are those moments that where we find ourselves just absolutely gutted and then inspired, and they're the same moment. It's in those moments that are absolutely hard and we would avoid them at all costs, and yet somehow are necessary and become a place of new beginning. That's when we know we are on holy ground. That's the passage we've got in front of us today. It's the holy ground kind of passages and the holy ground kind of moments. Anyone who is on the path of the beloved, will know that there are times on that path when they have been in those moments that are both horrific and terrible and scary and comforting and new beginnings and places of grace. If you've been watching the Bible Project videos in the week before, you'll know that they have a great way of summarizing, and you'll know if you watch the one for this week that this passage is part of the book of Isaiah, and there is a template, if you will, for people who are on the path. It is the template for Isaiah's life. It starts with judgment and then hope, and that becomes the template for the nation. It becomes the template for the people of God, which means it probably has something to do as a template for the way you and I do our life. It has to do with Isaiah and having this vision. And as it was read earlier, it was in this vision of God and the glory of God and the holiness of God and being overwhelmed so much to the point that it shook him. And he said, I'm undone. I'm ruined. I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips, is a way of saying, I've got nothing. I don't belong here. And it was exactly at that moment when, rather than finding condemnation, he found grace. It was at that moment that the angel came and said, your guilt and your sin are removed. The moment of his undoing was the moment of his new beginning. It is that for us as well. And I want to tread softly here because I know that for some of us, this passage and this template has been misused. It has been manipulated to somehow it means we have to scare people into God. We have to guilt or use shame to somehow manufacture certain emotions. And it has just devastated people. So I want to tread softly. But I don't want to walk around this either, because I have found that as much as this has been misused, it is still the point of healing. First off, we don't need to manufacture those moments. We don't need to manufacture those emotions. If you live long enough, you'll have those moments of great failure. You'll have those moments of great disappointment. You'll have those moments where you're absolutely gutted. It isn't a matter of do we have to manufacture the moments. It's that we need to find a way to meet the moment when they come. Those moments when we find our life is, in the words of a 12-step program, my life became unmanageable. Or in the words of Isaiah, I'm ruined. I'm undone. Everything has become unraveled. Everything that I thought I was, it's in shambles. And now what do I do? And we come to that point of failure, and we would avoid it at all cost. And we do everything we can, but then there's those moments when we can no longer avoid it. I've told the story before of a German soldier at the end of World War II. Entered the war very late. He was very young. He was too young, but in those days you got moved up into being a soldier rather quickly. And the first thing he did, he had no stomach for war, not that war. And so he gave himself up and became a prisoner of war. And that's how he finished the war. He found himself in a prisoner of war camp at the end. He knew nothing of God. And it was a couple of events, including one with some Dutch soldiers who were Christians, and he struck up a friendship with them to the point that one night they said, "We want you to meet us. We want you to meet us on the bridge. There's something important." And it was on that bridge that night that he had an Isaiah moment, a holy ground moment, because it was there that these soldiers from these Dutch villages told the stories, the horrific stories of what his country had done, of the atrocities that had been committed. And then they showed him some of the pictures that were coming out of the concentration camps. And he talked about just being gutted. "Undone, I'm ruined." He had nothing. And they told him all of that not to condemn him, but to bring him the truth so that this moment of judgment could also become the moment of hope, could become the possibility of a new beginning and a reconciliation. It was for him. His name was Jürgen Moltmann. He's a theologian, and if you've heard me at all, you know that I have taken a lot from him. In fact, I even got to meet him, and it was one a great moment. We were more in focus than the picture, but it was a wonderful time. It was clarifying on different ways, and it was at that point that it became a point of hope for him. And it's not by coincidence that his first great work and the first book I ever read of his is called The Theology of Hope. There are those places, that holy ground where we come to the undoing and it feels like it's the end of the road. And by the grace of God, it is precisely there that becomes the beginning of something new, of what can be. It is in those moments when we come to the end of our rope and we let go and we find ourselves being held in the arms of God. It is those times of condemnation that we are so afraid of, but we don't find condemnation. We hear the words, "Your sin, your guilt are gone." We come to those moments in our life of great failure and we feel like, "I'm undone, I've failed completely, I've got nothing." And then somehow, the message comes is, there is nothing I could ever do anyway to make God love me more, and there's nothing I could do to make God love me less. And it is only somehow when I come to those moments when everything that I was hanging on to and holding close and somehow trying to keep, this is who I am, and only when all that is stripped away that my hands are open enough to be able to receive. These moments come in different ways for different people. Sometimes it's outward and it's very emotional. Sometimes it's inward and it's very quiet. They come in as many different ways as there are people, but by the grace of God, they come, these holy ground moments. And I wonder where you are this morning on your path. What are those moments? Before we move any further, take a moment to reflect, and where are those moments of, on the one hand, something terrible and at the end in a failure and yet at the same time a new beginning? Or maybe the question this morning is, what are you still trying to hang on to today? What are you hanging on to that's protecting, that this is who you want to be and who you are protecting to be? And in your hands are all the things that, whether it has to do with all your success and your wealth, or it has to do with your humor or your anger, it has to do with your job, your success, it has to do with the persona that you put on, or as, you know, Brené Brown talks about armoring up, all the things that we armor up with. What needs to be let go of today if we're going to have that kind of an experience? As you're thinking about that, let me offer a prayer of confession. And if the words of this don't quite set for you, then find different words. But just know this, these words are not meant to somehow appease God. They are meant to awaken us to the possibility of holy ground. Would you join me? Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry. They are too real to hide, too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has for us become a consuming fire.
Set us free from a past we cannot change. Open us to a future in which we can be changed. And grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image through Jesus Christ, the hope of the world. Amen. A new beginning for Isaiah became a new beginning for the nation. A new beginning for us becomes a new beginning for all those around us. And that's the second part of this passage, that after Isaiah goes through this cathartic moment of judgment and hope, now he's ready, because the very next verse says, the heavenly host says, who will go for us? And Isaiah, in this new moment, is able to say, well, here am I, send me, I'm ready. Here am I, send me. There's a lot about call that gets used in religious circles around churches. And most of the time, I think we tend to over-spiritualize that. We expect it, because of passages like this, that we're expecting it to come from a voice from heaven. We're expecting it to come out of a burning bush. And sometimes it does, more rare than we think. Because most of the time it comes in much more mundane ways. It comes in the everyday responsibilities that are right there in front of us. Sometimes I believe, miss it because we are expecting something else that's otherworldly, when in fact it is practically shouting at us right here in our own world. Here's your call. For anyone who wants to follow Christ, that is our call, is to follow Christ. It is to somehow live into the prayer that we use almost every Sunday at the Lord's Prayer, with your kingdom come, your will be done on earth even as in heaven. That's the call, is to somehow embody and extend what God wants, the image of Christ in and through us. And the only thing that changes is the context. The call is always the same. How will you go, and how will you love God, and how will you love your neighbor? That's the call. Now, what situation do you find yourself in? I think you look in your relationships. Are you a husband? Are you a wife? You have a call. That's where you are called to be in that moment. Are you a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a brother, a sister? There, that's your call. That's the place where we live this out. That's the place where we give ourselves. And if we don't give ourselves there, what makes us think we're going to be ready for anything else? Sometimes we miss it because we think, oh, that's not big enough, or that really doesn't need me. And it's disastrous. It's when we don't look at what's right there in front of us. It's Stewardship Sunday. This is where we come in, and in our congregation, we bring our pledges if we were in the same room. So we're mailing them. And I know there's part that goes like, oh, what difference does it really make? And it feels more like just an obligation rather than part of the call. And so there's this old stewardship story that seems like it's worth telling, about the doctor who came to this village. And the people were very grateful for the stay that he was there that week and all they had done. And they said, what can we pay you? And he said, you don't have to pay me anything, but do this. He said, go back to your homes, and each of you has soup that you are making, and each of you should take something of your soup and bring just a ladle of that soup and bring it here, and then I will have the very best of this village, and that will be enough. And people went home thinking, well, this is great. But then when they got to their pots, they got, boy, I hardly have enough, and what's it going to matter? One pot. And so they, rather than gave out of their pot, they just filled it with hot water, and they brought it in and thought, well, maybe they won't notice because everybody else is giving. And at the end, everybody came and they poured it in, and the doctor put his ladle in and took it out, and it was just all water. Everybody had thought the same thing. Everybody had thought, well, somebody else will. I don't need to. They had all missed their call because they had missed what was in front of them. They thought that what they had didn't matter. Whether it is a stewardship pledge, whether it is the gifts that you have been given, whether it is the talents, whether it is all the things that belong to you, it is so easy to dismiss them and think they are not important, or think that they're just not big enough. And so maybe these words, I cannot do all the good that the world needs, it says, But the world needs all that I can do. Do you want to know what your call is? It is to do what you can do. It is to take your gifts. It is to take what you have been given and to do your part in it. That's our call. And if we don't do that, it doesn't matter how we hear the voice of God in a bush or from the heavens. We're not going to be ready because we're not doing what's right in front of us anyway. Well, how do you know? The question is, how do you know what it is I'm supposed to do? Now, I have been putting some things out called Daily Grace and little pieces and parts of it because I believe that if you want to change your life, you change your habits. And if you really want to make a change, you change the habits that you do something every day. And there's a practice, and I commend you to it on our site or on the YouTube channel that we have. To go check it out. And it has to do with the first two letters of grace, which is where we ground and rejoice. And it's a practice every day. And it starts with a verse out of Psalms. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Let us be glad in it. And there's just three questions in there. And I'll let you unpack that. But at the end of it, I come back to our passage in Isaiah. I say, at the end of it, once you've identified, what is it that makes this day unique? What is it that in which we rejoice, in which, for what we are grateful? What is it and what is being required of me? Where can I bring gladness? Then I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this because it's coming from the heavens, but it's coming out of the life that's in front of you. Who will go for us? Who will go for us this day? And the answer is, here am I. Send me. Once I have seen what is being required of me, once what's right there in front of me, here am I. Send me. I told you the story about Jürgen Moltmann. I think that story over the years has become just as much the story of the Dutch soldiers. The Dutch soldiers who had no obligation but chose, because here was in front of them, here was one person that they liked, here was one person that they had grown fond of, here was a situation, and they could have treated him like an enemy, they could have left it there, but they did the hard work of confrontation, they did the hard work of bringing the truth so that they could do the hard work of reconciliation. I don't know if any of them thought that what they did mattered all that much. But that's what needed to be done that day. If they hadn't done that, then he would not have had that experience. If he had not had that experience, the course of his life might have taken him in a whole different direction. There never might have been a book called The Theology of Hope. There might not have been volumes of theology of great thought about what kind of a God who meets us in the God-forsaken places, because it is when we are God-forsaken, we meet the God that is there, and we realize if God is there, there's no place that God can't be. And that story blesses me, and it blesses you, and none of that would have happened if somebody hadn't done what was given them to do that day. So what is being given to you today? What is it in front of you this day? This day, may you hear the call on your life. May you hear a world that is waiting. May you hear the call that says, who will go and offer peace today where there is conflict? Who will go and bring a smile where there is sorrow? Who will go and bring comfort and encouragement? Who will go and offer strength? Who will come and bring healing? Who will go? Who will go and forgive? Who will go and bring pardon? Who will go and bring love? Who will go into the workplace and bring integrity? Who will see the unforgotten and the invisible person? Who will give dignity? Who? Who will go for us? And as you hear that, this day, may our answer be, here am I. Here am I. Send me.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace.